therefore, right? Therefore, based on verse 33, if you believe verse 33, if you believe that God is not a liar, if you believe that Jesus Christ speaks truth, therefore, based on the truth of verse 33, based on the character of God, do not be anxious about tomorrow. Why? Because there's no point in being worried about that. God's like, I got you. I got you. You seek my kingdom. You seek my righteousness. I'll worry about tomorrow.
Hey, listeners, delighted to have you here with us today through Matthew 6 as we dig into the Sermon on the Mount. If you have missed any of the messages in this series or you want to go back and listen to anything from Live in the Light of the Kingdom, you can visit us online at liveinthelight.ca. On our website, we have all these resources and many others for you to check out. Plus, there are opportunities there for you to give. If you feel like you want to support the ministry here at Live in the Light, you can do that right on our website. Hey, today we are wrapping our Seek First the Kingdom message, and that's really it. Seeking first the kingdom of God. Number one priority, number one passion, number one pursuit. It's that simple, but it's not easy. So maybe this is a message you want to, again, grab your pen, grab your notebook, take some notes. Join us and Pastor Robbie in Matthew chapter 6.
Act like this glorious Christian follower. How can he or she do that without the Holy Spirit of God? You pray for them, you love them, you teach morality, yes. But at the end of the day, it requires the Holy Spirit to cause someone to truly be born again. Jesus says the Gentiles seek after all these things. But what he's implying here, though, is that Christ followers, listen, must be different. Must be different. We're citizens of the kingdom, belonging to the king, loving the king, saved by the king, transformed by the king. We must follow the king. Therefore, we're different. We don't seek the things of the world. We don't seek the things that are treasures on earth because we have been bought with a price. We have been set apart for the kingdom of heaven. Again, I think if you look at the example he gives in verse 26, he says, look at the birds of the air. They neither sow nor reap nor gather into barns. Yet your heavenly Father feeds them. And are you child of God? Are you followers of Christ? Are you citizen of the kingdom? Not more value than they? See, that's powerful. That's beautiful. A friend of mine, he told me this a number of years ago. I've never forgotten it. It encouraged me so much. I give it to you today too. He says, whenever I see a flock of birds, I think of Matthew 6, verse 26. And when he sees that, and by the way, you'll see flock of birds now a lot. And it's so encouraging. I'm driving the car, sit in my office, walk in the street, whatever it might be, and you see a flock of birds, and it reminds me basically Jesus saying, are you not more valuable than they? I've got you, son. I will take care of you. I love you. I provide for the birds. They don't store up. I will take care of you as well. So Jesus is saying, believers know this. Genuine believers of Jesus Christ, they take this to heart and they live it out. When Jesus commands, but seek first here, he means what? Our supreme choice, our greatest pursuit. It's like we learn where something is, right? You see where something is and then you go after it. Speaks of intensity or zeal or determination. Think of an athlete pursuing a prize. Think of the effort and the discipline and the desire for that prize. Think of a young man pursuing his future wife. That's intense. There's a lot of zeal there, determination. Think of a farmer going after the harvest, so desperately needed, and the intensity and discipline going after that. That's what that means, seek first. Seek first, first place, most important priority within our lives. Again, listen, this is so key, right? Because what are our priorities? Now, make sure we understand this. Simply put, the priorities of our lives determine the path of our lives. This is what we have to admit to ourselves. You are here at church today. You have decided, almost all of us, you've decided to make this a priority. That's why you're here. Others are not here today because it's not a priority. Many of us this week, we woke up in the morning and we sought Jesus Christ through word and prayer because he was our priority. Some of us did not do that because he is not our priority. The way we spend our free time, if we're using our giftedness for the kingdom in Jesus Christ, some of us are doing that because he is the priority. His kingdom is the priority. Others of us are not doing that because at the end of the day, he simply is not, his kingdom is not our priority. Again, I'll say it again. Our priorities determine the path of our lives. So it's very, very important to be honest about what we prioritize and what is most important to us. I think a helpful illustration that I've heard in the past, and very helpful, given by Stephen Cole, tells a story, and this is taken from Stephen Covey actually too. It's this story of a time management expert who was speaking to a group of business students. He pulled out a large wide-mouth jar and filled it with fist-sized rocks. When he couldn't put any more in, he asked, "Is this jar full?" The class responded, "Yes." And he said, "Really?" Then he pulled out a bucket of gravel and he poured it in, shaking it down through the cracks. Then he asked, "Is the jar full?" The students were on to him now. They said, "No." He said, "Good." He dumped in a bucket of sand. Once more, he asked, "Is the jar full?" "No," they all shouted. Again, he said, "Good." He poured in a pitcher of water until the jar was full to the brim. And then he asked, "What is the point of the illustration?" One student ventured, "No matter how full your schedule, if you try hard, you can always fit more in." The speaker said, "No. That is not the point. The point is this," and it's good. "The point is, if you don't put the big rocks in first, you'll never get them in at all." Now that is serious wisdom we can apply to Matthew 6:33 today. What sand and gravel is in our lives, which may not be bad, some of it might be, but some of it may not be. What is the sand and gravel in our lives that is preventing the rock of the kingdom of God to get in the first place? I'll ask again. What is the sand and gravel in our lives that is preventing the largest rock of the kingdom of God to get into our lives in the first place? See, this is likely one of the key points of wisdom that separates those that are mature in Christ, growing in Christ, fired up for Christ, affectionate for Christ, finding God's blessing in their lives for Jesus Christ, compared to those who are apathetic, lethargic, complacent, and lukewarm. It's just as simple as this. Jesus Christ and his kingdom is not a priority. And because he's not a priority, they don't receive the blessing from God. It's as simple as that. That's why seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness as our greatest priority. And then we find the blessing of God begins to flood our lives. Life is not easier. Life actually often becomes harder, but it is absolutely blessed by the Lord with his presence and peace and the fruit of his spirit in our lives, because we will never, ever lose out with the kingdom of God. Seek first the kingdom of God means it's our number one priority. The second subpoint is this. Kingdom of God means it's our number one passion. So verse 33, but seek first the kingdom of God now. Now, when we speak of the kingdom of God, what do we mean? Here's what Jesus means. John MacArthur is very helpful here. Okay. To seek first his kingdom is to seek the rule of God, the will of God, and his authority, the authority of God. If we go to the next slide here then, when I seek first his kingdom, right? It's not about me. It's not about my desires, not about my will, and certainly not about my authority. I submit to his rule. My ambition is God's will. And I adore and worship the Lord under his kingship, his authority, and his kingdom. When I seek first his kingdom, I say this to myself often and out loud. It's just a helpful theological reality for me, especially when life is confusing, whatever's going on. I say, God, your will is the best will. Therefore, I want your will. I don't know what's best for me. I think I do sometimes. I don't. God's ways are not my ways. And I say out loud to myself and to God, God, you know, you're perfect in wisdom. Your will is the best will for my life. Therefore, whatever your will is, I want, because that's best for me. Might not be the easiest, might involve pain and hardship, might involve some different difficulties, but at the end, it's best because you never make a mistake. Those who seek God's kingdom submit to his rule. Our ambition is his will, and we adore him because he is the sovereign, true, awesome, and holy God. Becomes our number one passion. I want to make something really clear here today too. To seek first the kingdom of God. Please understand this. This is very, very important to you. To seek first the kingdom of God is not how we become Christians. Listen, listen. It's proving that we are Christians. Make sure you see the distinction. To seek first the kingdom of God, but to seek first the kingdom of God, then I'll become a Christian. No, no, no. If you are a genuine follower of Jesus Christ, born again, saved by grace through faith, new creation, a citizen of the kingdom, you seek his kingdom. To seek first his kingdom proves we belong to him. It is the proof of our followership. I mean, think of it this way in the context of Matthew 6 and a lot of the talk on treasures on earth and money and stuff, right? If we know we're citizens of the kingdom of God, why would we seek the world if we know it's empty in the end? Why would we store up treasures on earth if we know they won't last? If we're truly citizens of the kingdom, why would we build bigger barns to store our stuff if God will pronounce us as foolish at the end because we've done so? See, that doesn't make any sense. If we're truly followers of the kingdom of God, to put it bluntly, and we go ahead and pursue the world, that just involves spiritual idiocy. That is absolute foolishness. Jesus says, go here. We go an entirely different direction. And we're like, well, that's completely inconsistent. I believe this, but I do this. And it's like, no, 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 no. Seek first the kingdom of God. And those who truly, no, no, no. Listen, listen, there's some bad days and bad seasons. I want to make sure lots of grace. We understand that. We have moments we get distracted. This is another weekend though, where God's like, come back in, child. Come now, refocus, repent of the sin and the worldliness. Now come back in and receive the blessing of seeking first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. Again, I mean, Matthew 6, verse 24, look at that. Look at the end. And there, you cannot serve God in money. He's so clear. You cannot serve God in money. Which one is it? Which one is it? Now, the kingdom theme has been something that's meant a lot to me over many, many years. It's absolutely beautiful and profound. I encourage you to do a study of the kingdom of God throughout scripture and the gospels and the New Testament. Here are some verses that help pop now the theme of God's kingdom and the reality of what it means to seek first the kingdom. These are all by Jesus. Jesus says this, truly I say to you, only with difficulty will a rich person enter the kingdom of heaven. Again, I tell you, it's easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich person to enter the kingdom of God. Why does Jesus focus on wealth? Because wealth and the love of wealth, the love of money, is one of the single greatest blinding factors to truly seeing the kingdom of God. That's why. It's not impossible for a wealthy person to enter the kingdom of God. It's just a lot harder. Because money blinds, the love of money blinds and distracts and distorts and deceives. The love of money does that. So we must be intimately aware of such things as we seek to be genuine citizens of the kingdom. Let's go to the next slide now. Mark 9, Jesus says this, if your eye causes you to sin, tear it out. It is better for you to enter the kingdom of God with one eye than with two eyes to be thrown into hell. Wow, not my words, Jesus. This is the context of lust. Look what Jesus is saying here. See, what the world does, pornography, and again, lustful, evil habits, they are leading so many people down the pathway of destruction and hell. And Jesus says the kingdom of God is so important and calls for such radical behavior that if I truly want to enter the kingdom of heaven, whatever it takes, smash a computer, triple down on accountability, whatever it takes to get rid of, in this context, the sin of lust to destroy your heart and soul and family to make sure you enter the kingdom of God with a genuine approach and following Jesus Christ. Such a massive deal. This is what the kingdom of God entails. It's what it sobers us with such clarity. I'm willing to do anything by God's grace and help and the power of the Holy Spirit that I will pursue his kingdom and not let the world around me ruin my life forever. Let's go to the next slide now. Luke 9, the kingdom of God requires focus and attention. Jesus says, no one who puts his hand to the plow and looks back is fit for the kingdom of God. This isn't God as one compartment of 12 in my life. We have a picture in our boardroom here at the church where the elders meet weekly and our staff do too. And there's a picture of a plower holding onto a plow with two horses in front. And it's the picture to remind us of this verse. No one who puts his hand to the plow and looks back is fit. It's not like I started, now I stopped. No, I've decided to follow Jesus. I'm not turning back. The kingdom of God requires focus and attention. It's hard. It's difficult. The work involved, but the strength of God, the grace of God, today's a big day for that. And in this last verse here from John 3, then Jesus answered him, truly, truly, I say to you, unless one is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Some of you are like, what does that mean? Born again. Everyone is born once physically. In order to be truly saved, you must be born again spiritually. The Holy Spirit must come and regenerate us, giving us eyes of faith to receive by grace through faith the forgiveness of our sins in Jesus Christ. That's why, like, every baptism testimony in some forms, at least so many of them, I had a belief in God, but I did not truly know him. My life wasn't impacted by him. Then something happened. Then difficulty came in. Then I saw Jesus Christ truly. Then someone shared the true gospel with me. Then I saw the truth. And all of a sudden my eyes were opened. I saw Jesus Christ. He saved me. He set me free. He made me to become born again. I was a new creation. And from that moment, here's the fruit from my life. I am not who I used to be. I was blind. Now I can see. I was lost. Now I'm found. Again, I was dead. Now I'm alive because I have been born again. I now see truly the kingdom of God, and my life has been forever changed. That's the impact of those who are truly saved through Jesus Christ, not by works, but by grace through faith. They're born again, and now they see the kingdom of God, and now they know why they live and who they live for. So seek first the kingdom, number one priority, number one passion. And then thirdly, this, his righteousness means my number one pursuit. My number one pursuit. Again, verse 33, take a look. Seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. So this phrase here often gets missed. Seek first the kingdom of God, amen, amen. So good, but it doesn't stop there. And his righteousness. What does that mean, his righteousness? It's not super complicated. It means holiness. It means character. It means sanctification. For those new to church, sanctification is just a big word that means growing more like Jesus. So here's a profound statement. Ready? You got to concentrate so you pick it up. It's a profound statement. It's this. The more we are like Christ, ready? Then the more we are like Christ. Bam, it's good, eh? It's deep, it's heavy. No, but stay with me here, think, ready? As we become like Christ, we think like Christ, we speak like Christ, we act like Christ, we love like Christ, we desire like Christ, we give like Christ, we seek first his kingdom as Christ would have us do. You see, so you're like, you can't separate these things. Holiness is his kingdom. His true kingdom is his holiness. So the more holy we are, the closer we are to God. The closer we are to God, the less we live for the world and the more we live for his kingdom. So in other words, it's theologically impossible to seek his righteousness and not seek his kingdom. The more we are transformed to the image of Jesus Christ, we're automatically then pursuing his kingdom. And the blessing that comes as a result, we are to hunger. I mean, several months ago now, but when this whole series began and back in September in the Beatitudes, Jesus says, blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they shall be satisfied. Yes, thank you to the gentleman over there. So good, okay? Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they shall be satisfied. So again, I want you to see what Jesus is saying. He's saying this, okay? If you and I hunger and thirst for righteousness, him, holiness, transformation of godliness from him in our lives, the guarantee is satisfaction, blessing. Blessed are those, he says, happy, joy, fulfilled, filled with purpose. Happiness is what blessed means there. Listen, sin always equals misery. Some of us are here in the room right now or in Orangeville watching an overflow. Right now, sin is ruining our lives. Many of us right now, we are tempted with serious aspects of sin. And make sure you know that as we engage in that sin, sin always promises blessing, sin promises joy, sin promises purpose, sin promises a moment of pleasure, sin promises we're gonna win. In the end, it never ever delivers on them one time ever. In the end, we lose every single time because sin stinks. It never ever wins. Righteousness in Jesus Christ always wins. So again, this is an important moment of wisdom. Jesus says, seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. We seek the righteousness of God and we are guaranteed, not the easy life. I keep saying that, man, it won't be easier. Life will get harder. It'll get better. It'll get better. You and I have to understand picking up what the Holy Spirit is putting down right now. When we make movements towards the righteousness of God and more of Jesus Christ in our lives, absolutely guarantees that we will know his blessing in one way or another and his satisfaction in our lives. So this is a very, very important moment right now. Because if you're listening to what's being said and what Jesus is saying through the word right now, Jesus says, I promise to bless you as you pursue my righteousness. I promise misery as you pursue sin. And I think all of us intellectually right now, we can agree. We're like, I understand, I get it. And then we leave this place and nothing changes. Right? Like that's what needs to happen. We hear it, we do nothing about it. Well, then that's on us. We're dumb. Some of us say, I don't care. Nothing I can do about that. Between you and the Lord. But for those who do care, life's about to change. And life's about to know the peace and the blessing and the fulfillment and the satisfaction of what only the Lord can give. You know, and just before we move on from this last thing, Paul Tripp, heard him say this week, and he said, I'll just paraphrase. The address of our lives is proven in the little moments of our lives. Our individual little decisions on a moment-by-moment basis is where we actually live. It's who we actually are. So his point was, if Jesus doesn't rule us in the little moments of life, he doesn't rule us at all. Right? Like we can come to church right now and we can present, yeah, kingdom citizen, following Christ, I came to church. But then we leave here and our talk, our speech is not of the Lord. Our giving is not of the Lord. Our conversations with others is not of the Lord. And our, you know, affections are not of the Lord. And just day-to-day stuff we're doing, whatever we're going around, then obviously this doesn't mean a lot. Because it's in the little moments of life we prove who actually rules our lives. So that's why seek first his kingdom. His righteousness is lived out on a moment-by-moment basis where we understand, Jesus, it's you, your rule, your will. We submit to that because then how I talk, how I eat, like literally how I eat is a reflection of who I serve. Fascinating. Really helpful to me to hear that. I'm thankful for that insight. So if God doesn't rule me in the small moments, he doesn't rule me at all. And that's where the righteousness piece becomes so important. Seek first the kingdom, priority, passion, pursuit. And then fourthly, how much you want to think the fourth one starts with a P. You're right. All these things will be added means it's a number one promise. It's my number one promise. Look at the end of verse 33 again. I try so hard for us to see what God is saying and to take him at his word. Verse 33, but seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. Okay, here we go. Ready, ready? And all these things will be added to you. Loved ones, look, okay? Look, Jesus just made a promise. Do we believe that Jesus is good on his promises? Do we believe he means what he says? So let's just make it as clear as we can. So if we seek first his kingdom and we make him the priority and his righteousness, then Jesus just promised, he says, I will take care of the details. I promise you, I will take care of the details. Now, you're reading the same Bible I am. I'm just showing you exactly what Jesus Christ is saying and now promising. Jesus says, seek first my kingdom and I got your back. Seek first my kingdom and righteousness and I got your back. I mean, Jesus today, he's like, bro, you seek my kingdom, I got you. I got your back. I mean, Jesus probably doesn't say bro, but God would say, child, you seek my kingdom, I got your back. Do we believe that? It's really a question, isn't it? Again, part of what God has challenged me with in recent years, and I'm trying to apply, every time I seem to apply it, I just sense the Lord and his presence in it. I believe God wants us more and more and more to open his word, to read his promises, and hold him to his word. Reverently, with humility and brokenness, but I believe, I'm very convicted personally of this, he wants us to hold him to his word. In other words, in this context, Jesus, you said, if I seek first your kingdom and your righteousness, you promise that you will take care and provide of the details of the needs of my life. And so therefore, I seek to seek first your kingdom and your righteousness. And now I am waiting for you to answer. And I think God's like, bring it on. I think he's like, more people pray this way, please. More people hold up my word to me. Show me the promise again and see if I will not be faithful to it. I believe more of us, all of us, are being called in one way or another to pursue God in reverence, in humility and brokenness, but we don't do that enough. I think God invites it over and over and over again. How bad do we want it, and do we trust him for it? So notice then in verse 34, the conclusion of all this, therefore, right? Therefore, based on verse 33, if you believe verse 33, if you believe that God is not a liar, if you believe that Jesus Christ speaks truth, therefore, based on the truth of verse 33, based on the character of God, do not be anxious about tomorrow. Why? Because there's no point in being worried about that. God's like, I got you. I got you. You seek my kingdom. You seek my righteousness. I'll worry about tomorrow. Sounds like a good deal, Lord. He's like, yeah, it is. It is. When's the last time we replaced our anxiety with adoration, or our worry with worship, or our stress with surrender, or our fear with faith? Again, man, powerful, powerful moment and powerful, powerful text. Let's bow our heads quietly right now. I love when we do this. And just as we pray right now, let's think of our priorities right now. Jesus, the Holy Spirit has spoken to us about priorities. What are our priorities? What's our number one priority? Is it the kingdom? What's our passion in life? What has our affection, our desires? What are we pursuing? Where are we seeking to go? Who are we seeking to be? What really motivates us? Is it his kingdom or is it something else? What promises are we relying on? Depending on, maybe you today, like me, to say, Lord, I choose to trust you. And Father, if we lived out, seek first the kingdom of God and your righteousness, how our lives would change, our families would change, our church would change, community would change, so much would change. So much of life is found here. Holy Spirit, help us, then help us. I pray there would be honesty and courage, repentance, but desire and longing for you. May it be so, Lord, may it be so. Even the song right now, I pray the song is used as a prayer. My help comes from the Lord. It's the Lord. So use this time, bless this church so much. We need you so much. Just love these people so much and just pray that we would sense your love for us so much. In Jesus' name, amen.
Hey, if you're looking for more Bible teaching, we have many of Pastor Robbie's previous Live in the Light messages available for you to listen to at any time on our website, liveinthelight.ca. We also have our daily program in podcast form, so you can listen easily on the go or hanging out at home. If you have any questions about who we are or want to share a story about what God is doing in your life, we would love to hear from you. Give us a call at 1-844-22-LIGHT or use the contact page on our website. Catch you next time here at Live in the Light. Oh, yeah.